I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Blackfoot Communications is excited to announce new voice services for small businesses. Paired with our internet services, business Wi-Fi, and technical support, your business can stay connected to your employees, customers, and communities around the clock. Sign up for services in less than 2 minutes at goblackfoot.com/morethanvoice. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
I think the state's moving forward in a lot of right directions here. Still some work to do. You know, we've got jobs and housing to tackle, taxes, finances, though. There's more support for Main Street Montana and encouraging businesses. I think that's good. Want to look at wolf and bear management and what kind of local tools can the state better employ? A lot of things to talk about. And guess what? Governor Greg Gianforte is going to come alongside. We'll update on that as well as some of the fires in Montana and just the drought status of the state. And then this is going on this weekend, too, the Energy Open over there in Colstrip, Montana. So Jim Acheson is going to be by. He's the Southwest Montana Development Corporation Executive Director. Lots to discuss there, too. Montana's changing energy landscape still offers opportunity for our communities. That's today on Voices of Montana. From Montana, for Montana. Voices of Montana. Colstrip is changing, not closing, quote unquote. That's a letter to the editor from Jim Acheson from SEMDC, Southeast Montana Development Corporation. We'll talk more about something here, the value-added energy commercialization opportunities. I know it's a mouthful, but it sounds like there is something good in that. That's a bit later on. Let's get to our first guest here and welcome him. With our thanks, it's Montana's Governor Greg Gianforte. Governor, how are you, sir?
Tom, it's good to be with you.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate that. Enjoying the summer?
We are. You know, we had a big event yesterday. I was up in Great Falls. We just opened up another medical school. I met 109 students that are starting a four-year program in Great Falls at Touro University. We never had a medical school. Now we have two. There's one in Billings and one in Great Falls. It's really going to help us have more docs so people have access to good quality care.
That's another example, I think, of Montana moving forward. We'll talk about some of these things here, too. Let's start out with stories on the road, though. You know, we were in Dillon. We're going to head to Conrad tomorrow. We'll be in Fairfield on Thursday, celebrating Montana's farming harvest. You're out on the road a lot. What are they telling you?
Well, it's good to be out. You know, we had a very successful session earlier this year, and as soon as that completed, I got back on the road. And my goal every year is to get to all 56 counties. I've been meeting with local producers because ag is really the backbone of our economy. You know, it's hard to get a completely optimistic outlook from a farmer, but the crops look good in the field. I was up in Chester visiting with some producers up there, some stock growers and some grain growers, and the grain growers are saying, you know, things are plumping up, looks harvest could be good, and the stock growers saying beef prices are high. And I said, so you're optimistic? And they all said, no, it's not in the bin yet. So you know, I think there is some renewed optimism in the state, even if people don't always admit it.
Yeah, I know. But they're used to some, well, I shouldn't say used to it, but, you know, weather can come by and that can go in a heartbeat. So, yeah, I think a lot of people will knock on wood when they talk about that. Let's talk about wolf and bear management, because we were also out on the road talking to producers, and they're still having issues with wolf and bears. The federal government seems to be locked in. What kind of local tools, how can the state then, given what we're at right now, and maybe the reluctancy to move on the Endangered Species Act, how can the state or communities get better employed with some of these local tools?
Well, we're making progress. I mean, the FWP, I'm really proud of the work that they've done in the commission in setting wolf quotas based on actual science. And we have more people out. It's an opportunity for folks to get out, because in the end, we need to manage the wildlife. We want a sustainable population. We don't want to take these animals completely off the landscape. We have an obligation to preserve the species, but we need to mitigate the effects they have on livestock producers. And the quotas came out this year on wolves, which were about at what we harvested last year. This keeps a cap on their continued growth. And on delisting the grizzly. I've been a strong proponent to delist the grizzly bear. This is a conservation success story. We were down to 175 animals. We've been back at the maximum carrying capacity of the ecosystem in the Yellowstone ecosystem for almost 20 years. So, you know, it's, you've heard me say this before, Tom. It's sort of like Hotel California. You can check out, but you can never leave.
Yeah.
It's time to delist the grizzly bear. We've demonstrated with wolves that the state does a responsible job in managing them. Bureaucrats in Washington can't do it as well as folks here in Montana can. So we passed some legislation this last session, setting up rules that are identical to what was done when the wolf was delisted. And it's time for the federal government to pull the trigger and delist the grizzly bear.
And noted that you're making some progress in that regard. I think it's something that we have to just keep kind of hammering on a little bit because you had talked too about some sensible movement into the Endangered Species Act, some guardrails I think you referred to. Are those still in play?
Well, we're going to need a new administration in Washington to affect those. But I continue to have dialogue with the Natural Resources Committee chairman about some of these things that have really weaponized the Endangered Species Act. And it's used as a tool by litigants to shut down common sense management practices. Where we see it the most is in our timber industry. We have to reform the Equal Access to Justice Act. The Endangered Species Act also has been weaponized. And there are nonprofits that this is their profit model. All they do is produce lawsuits, and they shut down reasonable fire. I was up on the Colt Fire this week up in Sealy Lake, 6,700 acres, and we flew over it in a helicopter. And you could see where active forest management had been completed on neighboring properties, and talking to the firefighters, they were so much more able to control that fire when it burned into one of these managed areas. The fear they had was there was a vast area of forest to the south and west that had not been managed, and they were throwing everything they had at that fire to prevent it from getting in there, because they said if it gets into that forest that's not been managed, it's going to be months before it goes out, because it's just so thick and dark, and there's so much fuel in there.
Boy, and it seems like there's not enough folks in Washington, D.C., or maybe it's the bureaucracy that gets in place, that are listening to that kind of testimony out there in the field.
Well, I was really pleased. Chief Randy Moore, the head of the Forest Service, I extended an invitation a year ago for him to come out to Montana, and he obliged me, and he was out here earlier this summer. And we looked at a couple of projects, and I have to say, he got it. We looked at a forest where the state and local authorities had been doing management, and just adjacent was a federal piece of ground that had not been managed, and the fuel loads were just stacked on top of each other. It was really just like a tinderbox ready to burn, threatening the water supply for one of our larger communities here in the state. And he said, I'm going to get you help on this. And just recently here, he used his emergency powers, allocated money, and now we have people on the ground cleaning up that forest. And it's going to preserve that water supply for that community. And that wouldn't have happened if he hadn't come out here on the ground. But the message hasn't gotten out to all corners of the Forest Service yet. So we continue to allocate money. In this last legislature, we allocated tens of millions of dollars of state funds to increase forest management. We just need the cooperation of our federal colleagues to get the work done on the ground.
Montana Governor Greg Gianforte is with us, our state's 25th governor. Did serve a couple of terms in Congress as well. And, of course, along with First Lady Susan Gianforte, did found Right Now Technologies from scratch and 500 good-paying jobs. And that really was, a lot of people say, what kind of launched Montana's tech industry was that there. Governor Greg Gianforte again with us at 866-627-5483 or 781-627-5483 on the text line. Anything else to update us on the fires or the drought status? I know northeast or northwestern Montana is still a big concern.
Well, I'm getting my weekly fire briefing this afternoon. We stay very close to it. The question I asked when I was out with the incident command team in Sealy was, are you getting the resources you need? And the answer was yes. And I've always been so impressed with the work that our firefighters do. These cooler temperatures this week, a little bit of precipitation in some parts of the state have really helped. It's allowed us to get a little bit of an upper hand on the existing fires, but we, no pun intended, we are not out of the woods yet.
Yeah.
75% of the fires that have been started in Montana so far this year are human caused. So I would just say, hey, folks, be careful when you're out there. Check the chains on your trailers, observe the fire restrictions where they exist, and that it could really prevent a catastrophe.
Yeah, I very much appreciate that. Let's move over to finances here too. Talking about getting it, you've taken a lot of steps forward for securing maybe better jobs, and we still got housing to tackle. I like the fact that with this budget surplus, some went back to the states, to the people, but also we're paying our debts off. I think that's a huge thing.
Yeah, with the work we did with the legislature, we completely cleaned up our balance sheet. Montana is 100% debt-free. I just wish the feds would take a page out of our book. They don't seem inclined to do that. But this is putting us in a better position. Paying off our debt, it saves the people of Montana $40 million over the next 2 years and just puts us in a strong fiscal position. But you're right. When people overpay their taxes, we need to give it back. And I was proud of the work we did with the legislature not only give immediate relief with rebates, but also to do permanent tax reductions. So the business equipment exemption now is $1 million for every farm and ranch and small business in the state. No tax on any equipment under $1 million. And we reduced the income tax rate that most people pay from 6.9% when I came into office to 5.9%. And of course, the rebate checks are going out. So people have gotten their income rebate checks, couples filing jointly $2,500 up to 100% of what they paid in 2021. And then starting a week from today, people can register for their property tax relief. And you do that at the website getmyrebate.mt.gov. The reason we have a registration process for property taxes is the legislature wisely decided that that money only goes to Montana residents for their primary home. We want to give relief to people that live here and call this home. So again, that'll be over $1,300 over the next 2 years for property tax relief. But I'll tell you, Tom, property taxes are too high.
Yeah.
We tried to take some steps in the legislature to reduce them. They exclusively go back to local communities, and most communities are very responsible, but we have some in the state where their spending growth has far exceeded population growth and inflation. And the state sends out these notices, so we get blamed, but it's really local spending that's a problem. And there's more we need to do.
Yeah, and I noted it was a public meeting in Kalispell, and you had said you have some ideas about further work with property taxes. Are they still formulating? Can you share some of that with us?
Well, we are. I mean, we're looking at other states have given preferential property tax treatment to primary residences versus secondary homes. That would give advantage to Montanans. That's one idea. We've also been looking at, should there be a property tax advantage for land that's in production ag? I think that would be a good idea. But ultimately, the tax rate is based on local spending. And most of the mills, the rate that we charge float down. And there was a little sticker shock when people got their appraisals because of Biden, inflation has occurred and property values have gone up. And we're required in law to appraise property at its market value. But the local municipalities, the county commissioners set the rate. And by law, those rates have to come down as appraisals go up. So I would just encourage people, wait to get your bill. Don't overreact now.
Montana Governor Greg Gianforte is with us here. We'll take a call from Skip in Hamilton. You can text us at 781-627-5483. Or the phone line here is open. Greg's on for a few more minutes at 866-627-5483. We'll come on back and talk more about issues that are facing Montana still, jobs and housing, and want to get to education as well and mental health. That ahead on Voices.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Well, the Colstrip Energy Open is the 20th annual Energy Open. Sure wanted to go to that. Can't make it. It's August 10th and 11th in Colstrip. We'll be on the road there. But it's a pleasure to welcome Jim Acheson, who's with the Southeast Montana Development Corporation here, sets up the Energy Open. We'll talk about that. But more importantly, I think, is energy and our transition. And as I noted earlier, this letter to the editor, Colstrip is changing, not closing. That comes from Jim Acheson. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you being here. I had a chance. There's a lot of things I wanted to get to with the governor, of course, time being limited. We didn't talk a ton about energy, but I'm going to open it up to you because I think Montana has had, a renewed sense of the true picture of energy and the things that we actually can accomplish as community and state.
Oh, absolutely, Tom. Our state is appropriately nicknamed a treasure state, and we're just certainly blessed with a lot of natural resource beauty, of course, and raw materials, natural resource materials, and so I'm very excited about that opportunity to continue that for our state. And quite frankly, Tom, after 22 years as an economic development professional over here in the southeastern part of the state, I've never been more excited and optimistic about the future of our region, especially the Colstrip area, than I am today.
And why is that?
Well, there's just a lot of opportunities that are blossoming and percolating there. The governor's been a strong supporter of many of those projects or potential projects, so we appreciate his support on that. And we just hope that a lot of these, what I call value-added energy opportunities, will continue to flourish and we'll reap the benefits of that as not just our region, but the entire state of Montana.
Yeah, and that's something I want to get into here as well. The, as you noted, value-added energy opportunities here. How would you describe those?
Well, you know, we've been a strong supporter of our state and the governor for value-added ag for decades, and so that's kind of a given. We're very blessed with value-added ag opportunities, and I think those will continue to grow. Literally. But as far as natural resources go and energy, there's numerous things that we can do and very powerful, influential groups are looking at value-added energy for the next step in our state's economy. We know how to dig coal. We know how to burn coal, create electricity for that, of course. What else can we do with coal, natural gas, and other things? And when you start diving into it, it's absolutely fantastic and exciting, and some of these are getting ready to be commercialized in the near future. So that's one reason why I'm so excited about it.
Yeah. There's a list here of some things that you guys are at least, I think you've already entered into some contracts. It says here to conduct feasibility and technical studies, hydrogen, rare earth elements, flue gas capture, and graphene research. Why those four?
Well, those kind of the cream kind of rose to the top there, Tom. Over the last, I would say, since 2015, 2017, our diversification strategy for the Colstrip area was released. That was something that we spearheaded because we knew we had to quickly and urgently diversify the economy of this area because of the coal impacts. And in 2017, our strategy was released, and it identified some value-added, potentially some value-added energy opportunities. Those four were the ones that kind of rose to the top, and a few years ago, we entered into contracts for these technical studies with four different groups. And most of these studies are coming to fruition now, and we should have the final reports here in the next couple months, It's very very exciting to see what potentially could be occurring in Montana with some of these, what I call value-added energy opportunities.
Jim Acheson with us. We'll have more. Colstrip is changing, not closing, on Voices of Montana.
Blackfoot Communications is excited to announce new voice services for small businesses. prepared with our internet services, business Wi-Fi, and technical support. Your business can stay connected to your employees, customers, and communities around the clock. Sign up for services in less than 2 minutes at goblackfoot.com/morethanvoice. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Our Thank the Montana Farmers Harvest Tour continues. We'll be in Conrad tomorrow, 9 a.m., Frontline Ag Solutions for the program. And then later on, there's going to be a social involved. We'll have more about that tomorrow. You're all invited. Also, Fairfield on Thursday. I couldn't get to the Energy Open. Sure would have loved to. It's August 10th and the 11th. It's their 20th annual, and Jim Acheson is with us here. It's put on by the Southeast Montana Development Corporation. Jim's been really spearheading some, I think, some movement, Jim, and I appreciate the outlook here.
Sure.
Colstrip is changing, not closing. This Energy Open, though, 20th annual. That's 20 years. That's not too bad, sir.
Yes, it goes by quickly, Tom. we started it in 2004, I believe, if my math is correct. But we were basically wanted to showcase the economic benefits of responsible energy development, and we feel it can be done. We're kind of a all of the above type of thing, not only traditional energy, but also renewables and other things like that, because the Treasure State is definitely appropriately named. We have a lot of potential here in the state, energy related. So
let's go back to this, because there are a few things I wanted to pick up out of, as you guys had noted, or we'd noted earlier coming in there, some feasibility and technical studies being done on a few areas, and they're nearing completion. I appreciate that. I love when these studies come out, by the way. I love what, you know, a good research can tell us, and hopefully it's all good. Hydrogen development, rare earth elements. There's another thing that I think we should talk about, because I learned more about it when I was at the Energy Open last year. Transmission lines, Grid United. Just that movement toward really evaluating what our carrying capacity is. And it feels like that evaluation shows us we're going to be a little bit short in some areas.
Yeah, Tom, definitely transmission is a critical component to the delivery of generated power, of course, in our country. The grid is very interesting, very, very complex. It works, but it's really, we haven't had a lot of investment back into the grid, in my opinion, over the decades, and it just continues to barely hang on. Obviously, moving power around the country is not simple. For most people, it's hard to understand. I am not an engineer in that area, but I know it's difficult. But a group out of Texas, because of the problems Texas had a few years ago during the winter when they had a polar vortex hit the state, and their generation and failed, and unfortunately, their people did die from that outbreak of cold weather, and we couldn't get power to them fast enough, And so a group out of Texas created Grid United, and they're looking at creating some interconnection ties throughout the country. The first one, and one of the biggest ones, is between Colstrip, Montana, east into North Dakota, I believe all the way to Bismarck area, 385-mile transmission power line construction. It is going very well. They look to be going out for construction here in the next couple of years, but they're moving that process forward. And that would, Tom, allow them to move power back and forth between the two grids, and which was very difficult to do a few years ago and still is to this day.
That's good that there's movement in that regard, recognition of those needs. Before we go ahead, is there any more to finish up there?
Well, it's a significant construction, a couple billion dollars, but it would definitely help the counties of Rosebud, Custer, and Fallon County as the transmission line would weave its way through those three counties into North Dakota.
And
so
these
significant
are
economic boost.
And they're called merchant lines, I believe, and they're different than energy companies owning their own transmission lines. Does that complicate the picture? Does it simplify the picture?
Well, that's a good question. It's another piece of the puzzle to make things work. I don't know the details behind all that. I know the Public Service Commission would weigh in on that, of course. But it's just the inability right now to move power around the country. And so this would definitely help and could help with some generation throughout the area. Instead of just Colstrip Power going west, Colstrip Power could go east and vice versa.
Yeah. So. Jim Acheson with us here again, Southeastern Montana Development Corporation. Let's move, kind of go back into some of these things. Hydrogen development. There's some excitement there about it. I guess I'm pessimistic about relying on technology to make the math work, so to speak. But in talking with folks, there's some, I guess there's a lot of encouragement behind hydrogen development. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, this is one of the four studies that you mentioned earlier, Tom, that we entered into contracts on those technical studies. We're very excited about the potential of hydrogen development. It's not a new process. Yeah. Gasification of coal as a feedstock, or you can actually develop it from natural gas as well. But in the Colstrip area, they would be looking at securing a source of coal and gasifying it, capturing the emissions. That's the key part. Capturing the emissions on the gasification process and using that CO2 for enhanced oil recovery or just storage underground. The hydrogen economy is coming. I don't fully understand it, but I know it's very exciting as far as the numbers go when you look at it. And CyanH2 is the company that we entered into the contract for. They will be making a presentation at the Energy Open on Thursday. So we're very excited about that. Opportunity to add value to our energy industry in Montana.
I'm going to go back into this too, but as you mentioned, sure. And I meant to ask about it. I'm thinking it's encouraging about the Energy Open and the folks who are attending. I think as we talk about it here and the mandates and the math not adding up, there's just still a lot of positive energy, though. I mean, talk about the kind of support that is, I think, coalescing around our energy future.
Well, I'm very optimistic about all this. I see the potential. It's frustrating at times because you have, as you know, Tom, decisions being made in Washington, D.C., or even international, all the way from, boardrooms around the country. So it's very frustrating because you hear different stories, you hear different numbers. The math, like you mentioned, doesn't always seem to add up. The common sense would say that we need more power. Power needs are growing, and it's harder and harder and more challenging to get the power to the people and at an affordable price and have it reliable. The grid is part of that reliability. We're very concerned about the grid, and this transmission line going out would hopefully help some of that. But there's a lot of complex moving parts to the energy industry, and I'm, like I said before, I've never been more excited about the future of Colstrip than I am right now, because we're changing, like you mentioned before. Yeah, we're changing. We're not getting away from coal. Obviously, coal will be, looks like it will be decreasing, but we'll still have coal power generation in my lifetime. We need it. We need that baseload power. But some of these things like hydrogen and rare earth elements and then, of course, the affordable transmission to get it to the people. That's the important part right there.
Yeah, and keeping it affordable. I mean, we looked at what happened recently in Europe where energy prices increased by near 2,000%. I'm not sure how far they've come down since then, but I hope that served as a wake-up call to, not only governments but people as they examine the full cost of a transition. I think we can be more thoughtful about it myself.
Absolutely. And the price thing is very important. Obviously, prices are going up for just basic electricity at the pump, all sorts of things. We need to be very aware of that as these major projects are developed for the future because of that cost component. Absolutely.
Is Colstrip going to be a rare earth player?
Well, it... Tom, it could be kind of ironic. That was another one of our studies. They're looking at, they have tested the pond ash, the coal pond ash, which is the residual of the ash that is afterwards after the coal is burned for electricity. There is rare earth elements in there. And And so wouldn't it be ironic that it could be commercially viable to mine those ash ponds and extract rare earth elements that our country needs for security? And of course, the commercialization opportunities are there. So that's going on as well. So we're very optimistic about that. And so is some of the companies here, the major players in Colstrip are looking at that as well.
We talk often about nuclear in Montana, across the state. I see people talk about you got transmission lines there, you've got some infrastructures there. Is there a study moving forward there with small modular nuclear reactors?
Well, actually, Tom, there is. The federal government is looking in. They haven't actually started this study yet, but they, I would say this year they would potentially start that technical feasibility study, and that's on the federal level. To see if the Colstrip area could support geologically and transmission-wise small modular nuclear reactors in this area to use the transmission system. So that could be going on here shortly. I know we had a very positive and town hall meeting last October in Colstrip. It was very positive. And to this day, Tom, I have people on the street ask me when the nukes are coming to town. And of course, that's many years down the road, if at all. But Hemmer, Wyoming is doing that right now. A coal town that is going through some changes, and they are putting in small modular nukes and as we speak. They're a couple years ahead of us, but anyway, they're looking at it strong, and I believe construction has already started.
We'll come on back after a short break here and talk more. Jim Acheson is with us. The 20th Annual Energy Open is this weekend, actually August 10th and the 11th, and there's more to discuss about how Montana can still be very much in the energy provider picture. Back with more from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana in just a bit.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Tomorrow in Conrad, a lot of things to cover. Cindy Johnson will be with us from the Montana Farm Bureau Federation, and they'll also discuss education, rural education in Conrad. That's ahead. Also Fairfield on Thursday. They got some things going on there, a new historical society. It's been around maybe a little while, so that's ahead here as we finish up with Jim Acheson of the Southeast Montana Development Corporation here. Energy Open 20th Annual. Really appreciate your time here and the positive energy that goes into discussing energy here as well. I'm always curious, Jim, as to are people getting it? Because we talk about it here, and we try to keep it simple, but I'm not sure that we're really well educated to understand the costs involved or how we keep our energy affordable and how we keep it reliable. Are people getting that picture now?
Well, I think it's a good question, Tom. I'm not sure if I have all the answers there or not, but it's a continuing dialogue, of course. Energy is so complicated. It sounds simple, but it isn't. You know, we go over to the light switch on the wall, turn it on, and 99.99% of the time it comes on. That's great. We fill up, you know, our phones, our cell phones, our ATMs, the fuel at the gas station. It all relies on power, and we've been very blessed with that reliable system. But as far as education goes, I think that's a continuing component of all this. It's also like agriculture. We have a huge state, very few people that live here. Distances are great, and energy is a big industry in this state and will continue to be in the future. Price, as far as the prices go, that's obviously trending upwards, and it's supply and demand, Tom. So. Yeah. We run out of power, there's less power available, guess what? Price goes up.
Dramatically, so, too, yeah.
Yeah.
Talk, as you mentioned, you got a conference upcoming here. Yeah. If we're trying to get educated, you got some speakers here. This is open to the public, no charge on the conference-only portion of your Energy Open. Talk more about that.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. The conference is, like you said, this is our 20th annual one. We started it to showcase the benefits of responsible energy development, and each year is a little different. We have tours and speakers and presentations every year. Obviously, that changes as far as the content goes, but this year we have some hydrogen development presentations, some small modular nuclear presentations. We have a couple tours, and of course, the Chris Dorrington, the director of the Montana DEQ, will be on hand for our banquet speaker. Unfortunately, those are all maxed out now and closed because of registration. But if somebody wants to come to the conference to listen to the presentations, that's still available, and we would encourage that if possible, because this is one of the few times that you can get to listen to some of those experts on that. Whether you agree or not, it's part of the education process. And that's what I think is good, is dialogue. Energy needs dialogue, and there's no perfect energy resource, but there's pros and cons to everyone. So let's find out which one works for us and put the pieces of the puzzle together and make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate that. Just this pragmatic approach to it all. We have a lot of people on board for it. Let's just do it with more thoughtfulness. Jim, yeah. I appreciate you doing that. I appreciate the work you're doing. You are one of Montana's biggest advocates, and certainly for southeastern Montana. I appreciate that. Have fun this weekend, okay?
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Appreciate the time.
Appreciate what you're doing there. Thanks to Cody Ross, our in-studio engineer, Governor Greg Gianforte, for being on the program earlier. We're going to head out on the Harvest Tour for tomorrow. Conrad Fairfield on Thursday.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.